We're going to start with a story that, well, there's going to be a fair bit of deja vu about it, frankly. More deaths, more international declarations, but no action from the UN Security Council. I'm talking, of course, about the situation in Syria. Now, in the early hours of the morning, there were clashes continuing in Syria, some of the heaviest fighting of the conflict so far taking place in Damascus. You might be forgiven for thinking that this has got to come to a head soon, that there must be some kind of change. The International Committee of the Red Cross has declared that the conflict is now a civil war. We've heard that sort of language before, but the Red Cross has now declared it, and that's significant because it means that combatants who commit war crimes are open to being prosecuted in the International Criminal Court. A statement from the International Committee of the Red Cross potentially opens the way for that prosecution. The ICRC, which is seen as the guardian of the Geneva Conventions on War, has described the situation in Syria as non-international armed conflict, so effectively a civil war. Scott Horton's a lecturer on international humanitarian law at Columbia University in New York, and he seems to think this is quite a significant move.
I think a number of independent observers had already reached the conclusion that the situation in Syria had matured into a civil war. We had UN experts making that statement. But the role and position of the ICRC is unique. They are, as you noted, they're the guardian of the Geneva Conventions, and in fact, their assessment of the situation is authoritative. It's more influential than that of any individual state.
My first guest, though, on the show today takes a different tack. He's an international law expert based in Australia, and he seems to think that this declaration effectively changes nothing on the ground. His name is Professor Don Rothwell. He's the head of the ANU Law School and an international law expert. Don, why is it that you think that the statement from the ICRC doesn't change anything?
Well, basically, Wally, because we've had a situation now in Syria that arguably it could be said has existed now for a year, whereby, first of all, the UN Security Council could have requested the International Criminal Court to conduct an investigation into the situation there, possibly in terms of investigating crimes against humanity. But also, I think, because most observers would have taken the view that certainly the events that we've seen developing throughout 2012 have certainly reached the threshold for non-international armed conflict. So the ICRC have made the call today in July, but I think most commentators would have taken the view that that threshold had been met many months ago.
Sure, but if the consequence of that is that it opens the way for prosecutions, isn't that a significant development?
Yes, but the problem is at the moment is that there is no mechanism currently available under which prosecutions can occur because Syria is not a party to the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court. So it actually requires action by the international community to circumvent that particular issue. So the only significance of this ruling by the ICRC is that it may, this week, help to increase some of the pressure upon the Security Council because the Council will be meeting later this week to review the mandate for the UN monitoring mission in Syria. So if anything, that might assist in that process.
Why are Libyans being investigated by the ICC? They're not Syrians.
Well, because UN Security Council Resolution 1970, adopted in February, March of last year, gave the International Criminal Court that mandate. Both Libya and Syria are not parties to the Rome Statute, and so the only way that can be overcome in terms of that legal defect, if you like, is by a direct mandate provided by the Security Council through a resolution, and the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court provides for that mechanism. So we've seen that occur in the case of Libya last year, but to date we've seen nothing from the Security Council with respect to Syria.
So presumably that takes us back into the arms of China and especially Russia. Are there any movements afoot there?
Well, look, that's the interesting question, if only just because much of the debate in terms of Russia and China has been along the lines of their reluctance to support any resolution which would possibly be seen to authorise military operations in Syria. A Security Council resolution authorising international criminal court investigation is a long way from authorising the use of force and would use much different language. So I really don't know at the moment why there would be a roadblock to such a resolution being adopted by the Council.
How exactly does the Geneva Convention work in the situation of civil war?
Well, this in itself is another difficulty in the sense that the four Geneva Conventions are predominantly, if not virtually exclusively, designed to operate in international armed conflict. There are some provisions in the Geneva Convention which apply in non-international armed conflict, in other words, a civil war. But as a number of my colleagues have been saying today, it does at least impose minimum obligations upon the participants in that conflict to respect the rights of civilians and to take appropriate caution in terms of targeting and any engagement that might occur between each other. And ultimately, of course, and technically, it would make persons who commit war crimes in that non-international armed conflict situation liable for prosecution, providing that there is a prosecution mechanism available.
And that would presumably bring the opposition forces, well, it would necessarily bring the opposition forces into view, and particularly given that there have been reports and allegations of torture being committed by both of them. If this were to go to the ICC, how wide would the reach be?
Well, indeed, and obviously that would depend upon the actual resolution adopted by the Security Council, but if we hark back to the Libyan situation, that resolution 1970 was very broad and gave to the International Criminal Court the capacity to investigate not only the Libyan regime, the Libyan military, but also the opposition forces, and indeed that mandate was so expansive that it was also able to conduct some preliminary investigations into the actions of NATO vis-a-vis their military operations in the early to middle part of 2011.
Okay, Don, thanks very much for your time and your expertise.
You're welcome.
Professor Don Weatherburn, head of the New South Wales Bureau of Crime and Statistics Research. It's 18 minutes past the hour, 18 and a half past the hour. You're on RN Drive. We'll lead Ali with you in a moment. I'm going to take a look at this story, which has caught my eye, about someone who was sacked for swearing at the boss, took the case to Fair Work Australia, and then, well, seems got their job back. At least were vindicated in their case. All sorts of interesting questions raised by that, I think, to do with, well, you know, is swearing okay now? Is it sort of just becoming something that's accepted? What exactly is a swear word anyway? Who decides that? When does something become so inoffensive and common that it becomes okay? Anyway, your thoughts on that are welcome. We'll get to that story soon. 0418 226 576. 0418 226 576. Or you can find us at Twitter at RN Drive or our page on Facebook.